You have arrived at your destination.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and you're listening to Sean vs. Wild. And guess what? Now that you've heard this, you owe me $29.95. Go to kissonline.com. Boom.
That's right, Wildlings. You have arrived at your destination. It is the Sean vs. Wild podcast, America's second favorite podcast, according to iTunes a couple weeks ago. And it's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. Of course, I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. This week, I am very excited. I got the new kids on the block coming to the podcast, coming to the Smithsonian. No, let me correct that. Not those new kids on the block. I'm talking about a brand new band from Southern Indiana, from the Louisville music scene. I'm talking to Annapurna this week. I sat down with the dudes. Actually met their singer a couple weeks ago at the Greyhaven Foxbat show at Magbar. We got to talking. He sent me some links on Facebook, and man, I was blown away. So I'm very excited to be able to showcase them here on the podcast this week. They have a new album out. It's called The Greater Good. Definitely check it out. We're going to be checking out the new single, Henna, right here on the show today. I will preface the show by saying, please pause it right now. Get on YouTube and check out the video for Henna. Go ahead and look it up because, man, the video was absolutely amazing. It's done so well. And, man, that music, the song is so catchy. I think you're really going to like these guys. So I'm very excited to be able to have them on the show. Annapurna in the Smithsonian with me here this week. Hopefully you guys have been having an awesome week. I know I've been. Man, my life has just really been looking up. I don't want to jinx it. Knock on wood, guys. But I'm just saying, dude, got a new 9-to-5 job that I absolutely love. Meeting a lot of awesome new people. I'm in a great place right now. And the podcast being number 2 in the country, man, what a reward for 95 episodes worth of hard work. And here's the 95 more and 95 more after that, and so on and so forth. We're going to get to that number 1 spot, guys. And I'll tell you what, if you have something that you want me to check out, I mean, please send me a message on Facebook. That's how Annapurna got here on the podcast this week. And I would love to see what all is going on here in the scene, local or national or abroad. If you're listening and you got a project, go ahead and hit me up, seanversuswild@gmail.com, or hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and all that other good stuff, man. So I'd love to check it out. And guys, also feel free to check out my sponsors each and every week. I'm talking about audiophileinc.com. Shane's got you set up here when it comes to your screen printing needs, giving you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. Just go to audiophileinc.com, AudioPhileInc.com. Tell them the Wild Man sent you. Also, big shout out to Audible. Guys, if you are not using Audible, what are you waiting for? Maybe you don't know if you're going to like it or not. Well, I'll tell you what, they've got you covered. Sean vs. Wild has got you covered. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Sign up for a free 30 days. When you do, you're going to get a free audiobook, over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from, guys. Pick out one that you like. Give it a go. If you don't like it, you can return it and get yourself a new one, and you still keep the old one. If you don't want to keep Audible after the 30 days, you still keep your book too. It's a win-win-win situation. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Also, big shout out to my bro, Joe Brock. Always there for me, week in and week out, and he's been booping the dials, very busy. You know, he's just back from tour, man, and, you know, he's just making moves, man, making power moves. So big shout out to Joe Brock. You know, he's always making it happen for me. Brock and Roll Productions. But yeah, and if you want your podcast to sound as good as mine, you better hit up Joe Brock as well. He's going to get you all squared away. But yeah, guys, that's going to be it for the intro this week. Thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. And here's my conversation with Annapurna coming at you right now. It's time to get wild. All right, guys. First thing right off the bat, I got to talk about this because, Lauren, you brought this to my attention, that the planets have aligned, worlds have collided, and both Lil Yachty and Donny Osmond have done a Chef Boyardee commercial.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about prefacing this whole thing with that myself.
Yeah, we're leading off with that. That's the hot topic for today.
Absolutely. And so essentially the gist is Lil Yachty and Donny Osmond came together to do a promotional video for Chef Boyardee, and it's pretty much the coolest thing in the world. So
yeah, it's something.
It is truly something.
I don't know if we would consider it the coolest thing in the world, but well, it is certainly...
You only watched it 10 minutes ago. Give it time. It'll be in your head for the next day.
It's got to be repeat. It's a repeat viewer.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Talk about a styles clash.
It's a collision of worlds, as you said.
But yeah, I think that they pulled it off, I guess, as well as you can for a Boyardee music video.
I think better than you could ever hope for.
Do you think? I mean, now, let me ask you this. Is this a commercial or is this like Lil Yachty's new single?
The boundaries are blurred. I couldn't tell you. Nobody knows.
It's both.
That's definitely up for debate.
That's why it's so intriguing.
I could see Lil Yachty putting out some bullshit like that.
Yeah, it's definitely helping get his name out there. He's probably gotten a million hits, on Twitter since that came out. So,
and a lifetime supply of ravioli.
Dude, what would you do with a lifetime supply of ravioli? I don't know if I would enjoy it for a lifetime.
I don't think I'd enjoy it for a day.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I need a bowl, maybe. Yeah.
This Boyardee, man, I'm not 9 years old anymore. I'm not running home from school reading a Goosebumps book and heating up some ravioli.
Well, that's the
Who
gist.
Knows?
Of
I could change.
If I could turn back time. When you heat up that can, it's like going into a time machine. No plutonium needed, dude.
No, not a one.
That's the gist. It appeals to ages young and old.
Yeah, definitely. It's with Donny Osmond. And they're like, they're probably like, listen, Lil Yachty, wait till you see this. We found the whitest man ever to rap with you.
And he does better than he does.
Yes, he does. Donny Osmond, true professional, guys.
Really?
The Osmonds, man. He's outshined all of his brothers, but maybe not his sister. Isn't it weird? I don't know if you know this about the Osmonds, but they were voted Mr. and Mrs. Utah. And I'm just like, they're not married.
Yeah, they're siblings.
Brother and sister.
Yeah, like...
Everybody
it's a
thought they
convoluted.
Were
convoluted.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation that there was something more there. Plus, it's Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but we've just alienated two states right off the bat. 48 more to go, guys. Right.
There, not many people live there. It's all right.
No state right is safe on the Sean versus Wild podcast, guys. This isn't just the Chef Boyardee podcast, the Boyardee podcast. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast, and I'm sitting down here with the hot new Louisville act, Annapurna. How's it going, everybody?
It's going great. Doing
good. Yeah, that's right. I got Greg here. I've got Lauren here, and Matt, you haven't said a word.
I'm just in my element.
You're
man.
Just picking your spot, bro.
I just don't have any comments on the Chef Boyardee, man.
I can see why you would
I'm
choose.
So disappointed in that.
I can see why you took the Fifth Amendment on the Boyardee.
Yeah. Yeah, I was unfamiliar and very surprised.
I'm in unfamiliar territory here, guys. But yeah, I ran into Greg at the Grey Haven Fox Bat Magbar big show a couple weeks ago.
And what a show it was.
That was amazing.
It was unreal.
Dude, when I heard that the Miller Lights, the proceeds for the Miller Lights were donated to charity, I did my part.
Indeed.
I definitely did my part that night.
I was right there with you.
And I enjoyed several dozen. It was like one of those things where like people were just waiting in the bar. I'm like, all right, just give me two. And I'll just pass mine over and go. But it's nice to know that, these sponsored events, public appearances that old Sean Thriller Smith's been doing, it has been working out, listeners, because I've got Annapurna right here on the podcast, living proof that if my fat ass gets out of the house, man, I'm going to make magic happen. It's just what it
and
is,
here
guys.
It is.
Yeah, dude, and you sent me the record. I know that, you you messaged me on the old Facebook Messenger and was like, hey, man, we talked. Let's chat. And sent me a link to the album, dude, and I was floored by the music. I was so into it. And I messaged you like... a couple days later, but like as soon as I listened, I was like, dude, I love your band. Your band's sick. Definitely come on the podcast now.
Thanks, man. Dude. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, dude. Where did you guys come from? Because literally, I saw the name on a flyer. I think you guys played with Darlington Pears, maybe?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah.
And that's the first time you guys ever popped up on my radar.
Yeah, that was actually our first show as a band all together. We all kind of came from all over the place. I came from Ohio originally, then moved out to Indiana for a couple of years, and then eventually worked my way over here and met these guys just through mutual friends, and we were all into metal music, so that was
so. Of course,
the,
you had to start a band exactly metal,
right?
As metal as possible.
Yeah, the softest band in the world.
Yes, exactly, guys. We are the softest band in the world. Look out, Chicago! We're coming for you, buddy. We're coming like for that throne,
Barry Manilow.
Yeah,
or you know,
forget about Cher. It, Barry. You're about to get buried, Manilow.
Interestingly, though, I like to point this out. You can hear some of the metal bleed through some of the guitar solos and stuff that Matt does.
I agree.
It comes out. So
it's very technical.
It's actually what brought us together was the all of our love for metal. I think you came over to the house Lauren and we were living at the time. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
we were in metal bands at the time. I think we were in Lifelines at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Their walls were just lined with Schecters and all these really cool guitars. And I was just like, all right, I like what's going on here.
And lo and behold, I think we might have been like practicing in the living room or something, and you came over. I think you knew Duncan, and that was awesome. We just like kicked off from right there. We started jamming, and that's been like really the center, I think, of our bond, is like all of our shared love of metal.
Yeah.
Well, even though you would not be able to tell by listening to the music, though.
I feel that. If you ever need a second drummer, man, you just let me know, because I love metal.
There. Let's go.
Dude, you killed it in Uh-Huh Baby Yeah.
Oh, thank you, brother. That was, just that stroke was my ego here.
I will.
Killing the band. Killing the podcast
I'll
scene.
Stroke it, baby.
Stroke it. What are some of your favorite metal bands? Everybody.
Me and Matt grew up on August Burns Red, that's for sure. That's what brought us together. And then so many others on top of that. I mean, I'm a more traditional deathcore. I mean, I like For Today and, you know, Old Bring Me the Horizon and stuff like that. I think Greg is always a little more progressive in his choices.
Well, Periphery.
And yeah.
Yeah, Periphery and Chon, Intervals, kind of that more...
The Contortionist.
Flash, the Contortionist. Don't get me going with them.
Hey, man, shout out to Hoosier Band. So, repping Indiana here.
Indeed. Yeah, go for it.
I'm into, we were just listening to North Lane on the way over
here. Oh,
yeah,
North Lane.
And they're just super, super heavy. I love the heavy stuff. I mean, we grew up on August Burns Red, Parkway Drive, and that whole A Day to Remember phase.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge. Nowadays, I'm into more of the progressive things. Animals as Leaders, Polyphia is really tight. Periphery, of course. More on the technical instrumental band side of,
I got
side
you.
Of things.
Yeah, dude, I love metal. I'm just like one generation behind that kind of style, because by the time, I mean, I was already playing music and stuff like that by the time all that had already been established, I guess. So like the metal that I'm into, I'm like, dude, give me Megadeth, give me Black Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? The 80s hair metal, like, I know it's not technically metal by any means, but like, well, that's the shit that I grew up on, you know what I'm saying?
Pantera
has its place for
and
sure.
See, whenever I was into metal, of course it was new metal. You know, that was what was hot on the radio.
Like,
you know.
And you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, new. Trapped? And
yeah, butt rock is what...
Yeah, now it's butt rock.
Also
yeah.
known as butt rock. It's funny that new metal split off into, like, butt rock and cock rock.
Yeah, it's just like...
But when butt rock and cock rock meet, that's when you get new metal. It just is what it is, bro.
And there's just beat down metal now. Yeah. Like Knock Loose, they're killing it.
Dude, Knock Loose is a name that comes up on this podcast all the time.
Really?
And,
don't doubt it.
I've messaged a lot of people. I'm trying to get him on the show. Isaac, I know you probably listen. And if you don't listen, somebody that knows Isaac Hale, get him on this podcast. We have to make it happen.
But, yeah, man. We used to play shows with them back, and I think we started our first metal band in 2009. And they, what band were they in?
They were...
Aesthetics versus Architecture?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Brian Garris
what
and
was
all
the band that formed Greyhaven?
Aesthetics versus Architecture.
So that, okay.
Yeah.
But then Knocked Loose kind of formed out of like a couple remnants of a couple other bands, which I forget.
Yeah. That really surprised me with like how fast they blew up. I mean, it was just like they were making merch that had a repping
Oldham County.
Oh, yeah. Bologna. not Oldham County.
World's Park.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's what happens.
It's awesome seeing them progress and like having played with them and then kind of evolved into our newer sound.
Yeah, dude. But you guys, I can definitely feel like the technicality in your music. It, to me, I was like floored away. I was floored and I was blown away. I was floored away,
floored
if you
away.
Will. I was Florida Lee. but it reminded me of like it's got a very Minus the Bear meets like acoustic type vibe. You know what I'm
Certainly.
Saying? It blends together nicely.
Yeah, Minus the Bear was a huge influence probably in the past couple of years, I was just introduced to them. My buddy Jeremy Johns, you know him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Jero introduced me to Myas the Bear, and I was just like, where have I been my whole life?
You know, man.
Where has this been? And started getting into that. And so I think they started influencing some of like the vocal arrangements and kind of the way that I was writing in that capacity. But they also have that kind of syncopated, you know, tightness to their band.
Absolutely.
I think that kind of
and Myas the Bear is such a great band because they can do multiple genres but still kind of be their own thing. Like, I've heard some really upbeat, like, this could be on the radio type stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I've just heard some really, like, kind of ambient, chill stuff. My favorite Myas the Bear album is still Highly Refined Pirates. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an old one.
It's the old one. It's the jam, and like every song is just about, you know, being on a yacht and partying.
Yeah, with the most ridiculous song title names.
Some Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, the most ridiculous song titles. Do they still do the ridiculous song titles?
No, they've toned it back a little bit.
Say,
I think they just ran out of clever things.
I thought Devil Wears Prada started that.
Oh, dude, Myas the Bear had like a song that's like, I lost all my money at the cockfights.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That wins.
Did not know that.
No, dude, it was all over the place. But Slowly Refined Pirates was definitely...
Yeah. Highly Refined Pirates.
Highly Refined Pirates was one where they were throwing out all those crazy song names.
You guys...
Then you got into Omni and it started like cutting back. I feel like they started
what was that band? I think it was either Norma Jean or Chariot that did a song where every word... connected to another word.
Oh, that was the Chariot.
Disconnect tie, and like every single song was something like that.
Dude, Botch, one of my favorite technical metal hardcore type bands.
So dope.
Dude, Botch has an EP, and every song is the name of a country, but the last letter, like they just changed the N's to M's. So there's like Japan, Afghanistan,
Nigeria.
Like, and they just take the N's at the end of the word and change them to M's. And I was like, all right, man, fair enough.
Yeah, it's like, that's something.
I'll still listen to it. You want to put this out? I'll buy it. So, yeah.
That's good stuff.
So, so you guys formed by just kind of getting together. Dude, how long did it take you before you played your first show? How long did you guys woodshed?
We were just jamming for a while, like without even, you know, with the sights of developing a band. We were just kind of filling it out. And I think we were just like writing. Greg had come prepared with songs he had written from the various cities and states he had come from. And we just kind of built off that.
So you guys kind of did the Weekend Warrior type thing, just getting together, having fun, kicking back a few cold beverages.
Most of the time.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. And what we did, we did that, and we started our first round of shows as just an acoustic three-piece. So we're all singing, we're all playing acoustic. So our first show was kind of at Lydia House. Mm-hmm. That was like our pre-first show.
That was like a takeoff show.
And then we did... was it Z-Bar after that, or did we do Magbar?
Z-Bar and Magbar.
Magbar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played a Christmas show on 4th Street Live, which was interesting.
That was interesting.
Did you have a full Christmas-related set?
Yes.
We had three songs.
There was a couple thrown in there, yeah. That was like a requirement. Was
it Jingle Bell Rock?
It was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which, of course, is the greatest song ever, so we had to play that.
Imagine how well we butchered it.
We practiced so hard for it. It was, like, freezing cold. Remember, like,
couldn't feel our
fingers just being numb.
Ridiculous.
No one was, like, there. There was, like... Like
there were
families
passerbys.
And passerby. Some guy left like a $5 tip on the stage. I think that night. It was like, who's that for?
I was just insulted, but I took it.
Yeah, but I still got McDonald's later.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's
like it paid for Taco Bell.
Yeah, so jokes on you. Jokes on you, Christmas giver.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You asshole.
I wasn't ringing a bell. I was strumming a bass or plucking it. I guess
that was a fun show, though.
Glad we did it.
I mean, it was just like three. All three of us were just playing acoustics.
Yeah,
like pretty much the same
singing.
Chords, mm-hmm. and so we were just like, we need to diversify, and
we can't just be a Christmas band, dude.
Trans-Siberian what about
orchestra?
The other seasons?
Yeah. Right? Too many other bands doing it way better than us.
Yeah, Trans-Siberian Orchestra's got the market on.
Yeah, they got a step ahead.
Yes.
Always.
But yeah, I feel like when it comes to, I'm not going to dwell on Christmas, but I have to say my piece. I just feel like anytime anyone covers a Christmas song, it's always Last Christmas by Wham,
mm.
or
Happy Christmas War is Over by John Lennon. It's like anytime somebody does something new, or if it's a woman, like a female vocalist, I feel like they do Santa Baby at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Got to. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Wham song is one of the most covered songs of all time.
Yeah.
In addition to being the most covered Christmas song.
Yeah. Everybody and their mom has a cover of Last Christmas when they're doing a Christmas show.
We should do that. That's a great song. I still love it.
No, we should not.
Yeah. You know what? Let's add ourselves to the solo pod.
We were pretty adamant after the fact. We're just like, we are never doing that again.
Dude, what's the one Christmas song you just had to veto? Do you have like a Christmas song that you can't stand? Just one more Christmas question, then I'll get the fuck out of here.
I was like, what do we do?
Which ones do we do?
Probably Happy Christmas by Paul McCartney. Yeah, John Lennon. I wouldn't do that for the world.
Dude, Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
That song. That's a great song.
Oh my God, I hate that song, dude. I heard it so many times. I worked at the mall one season, and it was like they played like every hour on the hour.
Nonstop.
And I was like, you know what? This isn't even that good. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm like, I quit.
It's the Don't Stop Believing of Christmas tunes.
It is.
If I never heard Journey again, I wouldn't care.
Dude, I saw them at Freedom Hall? Or
with Def Lepp?
This was like 3 years ago, four years ago.
Who opened?
I'm not sure. I think it was just them, but it was just packed. And
hit the
mic.
That's cool. We'll edit it out. Just kidding. We're keeping it.
No, but I saw him. And Super Natch. It was with their new singer. I guess he's been in the band for a while, but he's like the Asian guy. Like,
yeah, that they found on YouTube.
Yeah, and he sounds just like Steve Perry.
See, I have a mixed reaction when it comes to that, because like sometimes I'm like, oh, that's cool, he sounds like Steve Perry, and then I'm just like, this is a grown man doing karaoke with Journey.
But he looks like he belongs in like a hardcore like metal band.
Yeah, he looks like he belongs in Dragon Force.
Didn't they find him at a Subway? Isn't that where he worked?
YouTube. Well, he probably worked at Subway. Yeah,
he just like sounded identical to.
I thought he made their sandwiches, and they're like, you're in the band. Didn't even hear him sing.
Yeah, well, he's from the Philippines, so I don't know how many times that you go to Subway in the Philippines. Like, I don't know if Neil Sean's just going in there and be like, you know what? Philippines has the best Subway. Yeah. You got to go in there.
And you know what? I bet that guy can sing, too.
Hey, let me give you a long shot. Let me give you a quick audition. You look like you rock. You wear an eyeliner and have long hair. Yeah,
get over here.
Yeah, you get over here. Get in the band. It's a real, like, Mark Wahlberg and Rockstar type scenario.
I've yet to see that.
Oh, you haven't seen Rockstar? Oh man, it's a must see.
Yeah,
basically he's in a tribute band for his favorite band, and then the lead singer quits, and then they bring this dude up on stage, and he knocks it out of the park, and then next thing you know, he's the lead singer of Steel Dragon.
And it's Marky Mark.
It's Marky Mark.
No
dude.
Way.
So yeah. What's the crisis? What's the conflict of the movie?
Dude, can this small town kid live with his now found superstardom?
Isn't Jennifer Aniston in that?
Jennifer
too?
Aniston's in it.
Okay.
You know, she's along for the ride. Will they last? Won't they last? You know what
Tune
I'm saying?
Tune in to find out.
Exactly. Mystery, intrigue, romance. What's not to like?
You sold me.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go home and watch this.
Yeah. Definitely. Are you a movie fan at all?
I am. I like, you know, I'm a Netflix buff, if you will.
What have you been watching on Netflix?
I just finished Altered Carbon. That was pretty mind-bending.
Dude, I watched like three episodes, and I haven't finished it yet, but I love sci-fi, and it just seems like something I should really be into.
Dude, so great. If you like Blade Runner, you'll love it. I mean,
Blade Runner's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, futuristic, boom. Same vibe, color schemes, everything. It's really beautiful, high budget. I recommend it 100%.
That Joel Kinnaman or whatever, I can't stand the look of that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of smarmy, I guess. But
I watched a show called The Killing, and he was like this like gangster ex-drug addict cop, and like, and he's like real thin, and now he's like yoked for Altered Carbon. He's like in huge I always just kind of see that skinny ratty looking punk cop.
He's in House of Cards too.
Oh,
you
really?
Ever seen that show? He plays a guy that's running for president.
He does.
Yeah.
I wouldn't vote for him.
No, he's got his issues.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust that guy. His eyes are too close together. You know what I'm saying?
Something about his face.
Yeah, something about his face is very punchable. Matt, what are you watching on Netflix? Are you not a Netflix guy?
I don't really watch Netflix. I watched Point Break.
Oh, the new
Keanu
one or the old
Reeves
one?
And Patrick Swayze the other day.
I love
on
that.
Hulu.
Utah.
I forgot how
Give me two.
Great that movie was. The part where he's just like puts his gun up in the air when he's chasing that guy. He's like,
this is your so fucking wake-up call, man. I am an FBI agent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The best part was like when he jumps out of the plane without a parachute. He's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
With like the Magnum.
Dude, And Patrick Swayze, the Swayze dog, just killing every scene that he's in. So charismatic. No, RIP, gone too soon.
Mm.
Sexiest man alive.
Dude, I'm saying. And then you got Keanu. You got Gary Busey.
Lest we not forget.
Lest we not forget.
Gary Busey was the best. He got shot in the back with a shotgun.
That was really back when Gary Busey was normal.
They just glossed over that part in Point Break.
Spoiler alert, guys. We're just going to gloss over it, too, in case you haven't seen it. But, dude, that scene where they're going to run over his head with a lawnmower.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
intensity. I, like, curled my toes up. Like, when I see that shit, I'm just like, oh.
Intensity in 10 cities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what about you, Greg? We're going to go around in a semicircle right here and just discuss all of our favorite things.
Man, I do not watch a lot of TV.
Oh, man. You're missing out, dude. It's so much better than real life.
What an escape.
Yeah.
Now, if I was cool watching thing, I wrapped up Westworld a couple months back, and that was really cool.
I haven't seen the second season, but loved the first season.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got fantastic. HBO Go now or whatever, so
get on
or HBO Now. I've got HBO at this moment.
Be prepared to take notes, because it's insanely confusing.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It gets pretty deep.
Yeah.
But that was dope. I'll never oppose to just going back and watching Parks and Recreation endlessly. It's my go-to. Treat yourself.
Tom Haverford.
Indeed. All the Ron and Tammy episodes are pretty clutch.
Nice. Are you a big Office fan? Because I feel like everybody and their mom likes The Office, but I'm way more into Parks and Rec than I am The Office.
I was just about to say, when I don't know what to pick on Netflix, it's always just like Office, random episode.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I love The Office.
I know so many people that love it. Love it, love it, love
it. My fiance watches it therapeutically, like constantly. That's like her go-to. So I'm peripherally aware of the show and sort of what happens, but I was never a true fan.
Yeah.
Although I do think Michael Scott is hilarious.
Yeah, I gotcha. How did you guys get into music just in general? I'm going to look at that segue. Just one didn't match the other. Since we're talking about the arts. But no, how did you guys get into, like, what made you want to start playing guitar or singing or playing bass?
I would say it was kind of by chance for me. I think I was in about seventh grade at the time, and I was living with four step siblings at the time. And my mom came home with an electric guitar for me and my stepbrother. And I'd never even expressed any interest in playing guitar. She just kind of surprised me with it.
What was it? Do you know what kind of guitar it was?
I don't, actually. It was like the headstock had like an S with a circle around it.
Okay.
I can't remember. But it was like a Strat. It was like a blue on white Strat.
Gotcha.
Just collected dust in the closet, you know, because I didn't know how to play guitar. Then my stepbrother, he had a red on white, and started listening to him play. And then there were some people in school who I went over, like, their, like, some friends. I would go over their house and they would play like Nirvana. One of my buddies, Chase, who I knew in middle school, did that. And then I moved to Long Island after my stepfather passed away. And when I moved to Long Island from seventh grade to I'm not going to get into the specifics. Anyways,
yeah. I moved to Long Island.
I moved to Long Island, and I didn't have any friends. So I was there for about 2 years, and then I had gotten another guitar, like a California. I think that was the brand.
Gotcha.
I got it up there. It was just like a black and white, and I would just play along to songs on my computer. I would just like throw on like System of a Down or any song like I could play. Like, you know, I took my first lesson and just learned how to play a power chord, and from there was history. I just got the biggest joy out of playing like note for note along with the song that I loved.
Yeah.
And that just kind of expounded and, you know, upon itself. And I guess that's what developed the skill. And then that's kind of how it started, by chance. And then just like continued interest from like seeing the progress that I'd made.
Right. Well, I just felt like it was probably for you a decision where you're like, oh, I'm a young stud. I'm handsome. I got to make myself way more hotter.
It's a misconception.
How can I go one step further?
That guitar is
not that there.
How do I go from 9 to 10?
All you're missing is the skateboard.
Right. I cannot skateboard for shit. I can't even do an ollie.
Yeah, guys. Next Avril Lavigne video featuring Matt from Annapurna. The
20 years later.
What about you? What about you, Lauren?
So I'll tell you exactly what happened. My dad played guitar. I always really liked it. Listening to him, couldn't play. And then my brother got a guitar. Actually, we both got junior guitars for Christmas one year. He got better at it than I did. So I was like, okay, I give up. You're the one who's going to play. And then my best friend at the time, I was in sixth grade. He gets a guitar for Christmas, and he starts playing. And I was like, oh, hell no. Okay, I can't let this kid show me up. So he got like a BC Rich Bronze Warlock, piece of shit.
Right.
I got a Washburn X10 Cherry Red, also a piece of shit. Action was like an inch off the fretboard. But it was really a competitive thing. So I started playing, and he did. And then eventually I surpassed him. And then I had a friend who mentored me, and he was classically trained, genius musician, showed me. I never took like formal lessons, but he like showed me the ropes. And so it built up from there, like it did for Matt. And then one thing led to another, and I was playing along with the songs that I loved. I was really into like emo, Senses Fail and Atreyu, and I was playing along with that and also singing. So that paved the way for the, you know, vocals and the playing. And then we met each other, and it took off from there.
Oh, snap.
Greg. Yeah, we went to Atherton together.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tie that in real quick, we went to Atherton, and you moved from Tennessee, and his house was just right down the street from the school, and we would just go there after class. I think the first day, like, you invited me over. I saw your Gibson SG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was that little amp you had? Firebird.
It was a something fire Zoom Fire 30,
but it was so good.
Yeah,
it was so good, because like I didn't have an amp that was worth a shit at the time, and like hearing that, I was like, dude, we got to start jamming.
Do you sound like a real band?
Yeah. Right. That's how heavy that was. That's how the metal band started.
It's got distortion built right into it. Yeah. Check this out.
Distortion was really, to this day, it's like phenomenal. It was
metal
ahead
zone
of its
pedal,
time.
Man.
Metal zone pedal.
Oh man.
What about you, Greg? What got you into this stuff?
So, my older brother started playing guitar when he was like 13, and he would go to this music shop called Woody's in Kent, Ohio. And I would always tag along with him whenever he'd go to lessons, and I'd just kind of sit there, and I was always intrigued. My uncle and my cousins all played guitar, and just kind of seeing them, I think initially sparked the interest. And then once, it was kind of one of those deals, I saw my brother playing, and he was getting good, and I was like, I need to be able to play like that, if not better, because everything was always competition. So,
right, yeah.
Started on a bass, actually. We went to Woody's, and I bought this $80 quart bass, and it was like, I think it was like 3/4 scale or something along those
right.
lines, but it's just god awful. It was just the worst bass, but I loved it and played the hell out of it too. And so eventually my brother kind of passed down a guitar to me, and I started learning chords and whatnot. And then once I started listening to heavy music, I decided it was time for myself to invest in a BC Rich Mockingbird.
There you go.
So,
hey man, good enough for Dimebag Darrell.
It was something. But yeah, after that, I played in a couple metal bands throughout high school, and then I went to college out in Anderson. It was a lot more like folk driven music, and so I started to tone back a little bit and started playing with a buddy named Josh in a couple different bands, and that kind of slowed the pace down a little bit. And so I feel that was kind of the transition out of the metal world, and then with this next step, it's kind of been like the blending of everything, you know, some of the softer elements, but still keeping that synchronicity,
dude,
and kind of that heavy aspect in the background.
Yeah, there you go. Well, guys, you've heard all about how they got here, and you've heard all about their influences, and you've heard their opinions on Christmas and Boyardee. Guys, let's check them out. Dude, let's take a moment here to check out the new single, Henna, off of their still pretty damn new album, Greater Good, The Greater Good here. Guys, this is Henna by Annapurna.
We'll be right back.
All right, everybody. That was Henna by Annapurna, taking you to Toons Farm. Taking you to Toontown on that one, guys. It's been a while since I said that. It's been a while since I had a musical guest, so heck yeah. Well, I said that. I just had one a couple weeks ago, but still. Yeah, dudes, that song is the jam, bro.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Appreciate you having us on.
Hey, well, I appreciate you being here. And, dudes, this video, okay, so of course I looked up the album on YouTube, but I saw that there was a video. And, dude, give me some background information because your video is fantastic also. Listeners, you got to check it out. I'll put the link in the comments below.
Yeah, so it all came together. We saw Miguel Rivera, which he was in O Kingdom. I'm sure a lot
of
people.
Big shout out to Miguel, dude.
Yeah,
ran into him a couple shows ago.
He's the man. We engaged him just because we saw how awesome his photography and videography had become on social media, and we just caught him at the great time. And we kind of concepted the album or the song out, or the music video out rather, and that was pretty complicated. We had a lot of multiple parties involved. I'll let Lauren speak to LVA, Louisville Visual Arts. Greg did all the artwork. Yeah, you all jump in.
For listeners that haven't seen the video yet, for one, just pause the podcast and go check it out. But if you haven't seen it, dude, get the background deets here. You got a lot of stuff going on here because you got a great performance, but you also have a lot of impressive aerial dancing, you know, with like the ribbons and the
silks.
Yeah, so silks are what those ribbons are called. Different terminology, I guess. Usually aerial gymnastics is an appropriate term, but, you know, what have you. So, but
just really impressive stuff.
Yeah. And so my fiance Jasmine is part of Cirque Louis, which is basically the toned down Louisville version of Cirque du Soleil.
Gotcha.
So a lot of that aerial stuff. So she had some friends, one of which is the main character, Misha, who's the girl that you'll see in the video. She does that stuff too, but she's not one of the ones doing it in the background.
Right.
That's actually Jasmine and another girl we brought in from Lexington who's like phenomenal at that stuff. So we had the support of Cirque Louis, which is a great organization, a nonprofit. So we were happy to help them and, you know, they were happy to help us and it was a great mutual relationship.
Well, we'll have to get those gals on the show.
You might.
We'll have to give them a shout out. Where can people find Cirque Louis? Since we're talking about it.
They have two productions a year. One's at Iroquois Amphitheater in the summer, just happened. And then one's in winter around December or January, and that's at Kentucky Center for the Arts. So,
cool.
Yeah, both pretty big productions. So you can check them out there twice a year.
Yeah, listeners, make sure you do that. Because once you see the video, you're going to be pretty darn impressed, I think.
I think so. I hope so.
And who came up with the concept? Who came up with the concept of the video?
It was kind of shared, right?
Yeah, kind of snowballed on top of each other. Like, we got together at our drummer Miles' house one night and just started scripting out some different ideas. And we had a few, like, early thoughts. And then one by one, people were just, like, building the concept on itself. And we came back the next time around, kind of edited and scripted some of those and flushed more ideas out. And then eventually, yeah, once we got a hold of the gals from Cirque Louis and then reached out to Louisville Visual Arts and got a hold of Miguel, things just started compounding. And I think that gave us a lot more ideas, too, just in terms of the space that we had and you know, the ideas that we were developing.
I think the original idea was like, you know, we want a girl and she's got to be moody and there's got to be like art. And probably like a warehouse, and we want a scene with a bar, and that was like the nucleus, and then it fleshed out from there.
Where did you guys shoot it?
The beginning was at Lydia House. Back when I was working there, Emily was kind enough to open up, because they're closed on Mondays, so we got to just kind of take over the bar for an evening, and that was really cool. And then we shot a lot of the band shots at Louisville Visual Arts over in Portland. And that was really cool because that was my first time being in that space and it turned out really nice. And then the last part are more of the studio scenes were filmed in Matt's garage.
Cool. You got to use the stuff that you got around, man. Keep your budget down.
Right.
For Uh-huh Baby, yeah, actually in two videos, even though they look completely different, but there's two main set that's in two videos. And it was basically out in the compound where I grew up. You know, my mom lives out there. My grandparents, lived out there. There's like a house that we all kind of grew up in that basically when everyone kind of spread out amongst the compound, it basically became abandoned. But it was 100 years old when my grandparents bought it in the 60s. And then it basically sat for 25 years with no one in it. And basically, you know, this old house, the roof and stuff caved in. It was just crazy. But if you ever watch the Dead Friends video or you watch the Dances with Wolves video, that set actually makes it in both. And it's pretty uber creepy. But
that's
it's
cool.
So great because people are like, man, did you like CG some dust and stuff? And they're like, no, that's
nah,
real
that's
dust.
Real.
That's real dirt. And that's real asbestos. And boy, did I feel really
bad. And it
bad.
Is inside me now.
Mesothelium.
Exactly. So if you or anyone you know has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, make sure you contact somebody about it.
It's like the first time I've ever heard that word.
Yeah, dude, we both said it, dude. So now you've heard it twice from two different people.
Mesothelioma?
Yeah. Miso. Our new album is called Miso-thelioma with an N.
We're getting somewhere with that. I'm digging it.
Dude, I'm feeling this. We're going to ride this creative train all the way down.
Someone give me a piece of paper.
Yeah, guys, I think I've got something. Are you pressing record? Do you have record on? Always hit record.
Where is this compound?
It's out in Otisco, Indiana, which is basically about 25, 30 miles from here. Okay. So grew up out there in a small town, very small town on 100 acres of land out there. So pretty legit.
That's good.
Indeed.
But yeah, you gotta use what you have available. And you guys definitely used it to the full extent because the video looks amazing. So
thank you.
You guys first record, first single, first video, you're coming out of the gate swinging. That's for sure.
Thanks, dude.
Indeed. We're trying.
So yeah, your new album that came out on July 20th. It's called The Greater Good. Guys, pick it up right now, of course. But give me some background information on the album. What kind of themes are on this thing? What can people expect when they pick it up and hear it?
So, it kind of starts off on more of a somber note. And the music is pretty energetic. But lyrically, it kind of focuses more in like the darker realms of the mind, or at least kind of on some of the darker subjects, anywhere from substance abuse to self-doubt and depression. And then kind of moving forward through the album, you start to see these little glimpses of light and things kind of take on a more universal theme.
Right.
And it's a lot of, you know, self-talk, you know, these conversations that happen internally, and it's kind of you witness this growth, and then by the end of the album it ends on kind of a positive note. The very last line of the whole record is "In the end, let's be happy," or one of the last lines rather. So it kind of shifts from this more kind of darker space to something that's a little more positive.
Sure.
And I think musically, like I said, it starts off pretty intense, and you get a lot of that technical stuff, and then it kind of evens out towards the end and then ties back in on the last song.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was those songs, a lot of them came from the earlier years, Cascade being the oldest one. That one was written my sophomore year of college, and then a lot of them were developed like in my bedroom maybe 3-4 years ago. And they were just skeletons of songs. And then these guys got a hold of them and just built them up from there.
We're just
there.
Like, this shit's dope. Let's do something with it.
Let's do something about
it.
That's
pretty much what it was.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for them, I don't think these songs would have reached the point where they have now. Because they've really influenced how they've progressed. And they were encouraging the whole time. So we kind of took those skeletons and just built them and pre-pro'd them 100 different ways. And
yeah,
some of those early demos were sounding
and you know,
unique.
We don't have our drummer Miles here with us now, but he's done a lot to help flesh things out and add his own flavor to things too.
Shout out to Miles.
We love
you. Yeah, Miles, where are you, buddy?
Where are you, dude?
What better things did you have to do?
Slanging Vapotherm.
Right.
He's just vaping his ass. He's just vaping right
dude,
now.
Blowing big cloud, bro.
He's making addicted. Money.
Cloud yeah, he's making that money.
Yeah, dude. Big shout out to Miles, dude. But yeah, so basically what you're saying is your album is like the reverse of Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm saying?
We're
going to start at Mount Doom.
Right?
And we're just going to work our way back to the show.
Exactly.
It's definitely a journey, though. I mean, there's tons of like instrumental motifs that run throughout the album. I think there's like 3 or 4 songs where a particular melody is repeated but we might be, you know, on a capo, like capo two. So it'll be, you know, slightly different in sound, but that, if you hear it, you'll definitely, you'll recognize
yeah, it's the prominent pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a nice little motif. I think we organized the track listing in a way that it was thematic.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you said. I think that was cool. And we kind of started off strong. And I think there's lots of songs that, I guess our singles, Henna, came out, and that's like a strong driving
right.
single that might give people the impression that the album's like all of that. But I'd say a good handful of the songs are kind of more on the somber side.
Right.
In a good way. That might be something people would misinterpret.
Bringing people back to listening to a full album. There's a real magic of listening to an album from front to back. Because so many times I feel like I'm just on Spotify, I'm going to listen to one song, or like I'm listening to the singles of an artist. And then, you know, now that, you know, I have a record player and stuff, it's like basically like you're forced to at least listen to one side at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to an album from front to back, you're like, oh man, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like I listened to,
that worked.
Yeah. I listened to like Madman Across the Water by Elton John. And like, of course, it's like, you know, you've heard Tiny Dancer, and that's the song that opens up the album. And I just listened to it from front to back, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, I heard like one hit off this thing, and this whole album is BA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's really hard to decide what order you want your songs to go in, because you don't want someone to think, oh, this is like closer to the end, it must not be as good, or they must not have cared about it. But it's like, no, it has its place there, you
right.
know? And it was, you know, we would put it first. We could put every song first if we could, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like there's like a total theme in music now. It's like, all right, your single's going to be like one or two. Like the first song or the second song, and then you're going to have some, you know, whatever. And then
the last song's a throwaway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's actually our first full length we've ever released. Back in our metal days,
Lauren
and I, we had only put out EPs with They Came Bearing Arms, for the folks who remember that band.
And then Lifelines.
And then Lifelines, yeah. We never did a full length album. We had always set our sights out to do that, but just... It was never practical due to, you know, what have you, funds or whatever.
Right.
So this was a thrill just to have as many songs in the bank and fleshed out to just go in there and knock out our first full length.
And shout out to Jordan Puckett, too.
Jordan Puckett.
Yeah, I was going to say, production's great, man. So you guys recorded with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
It was
a different Jordan for listeners of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Most people record with Jordan Haynes, but we got Jordan Puckett. We got a new Jordan on
Jordan
the
Haynes.
We've had both.
We recorded a shit ton of songs with Jordan Haynes in the early days. But yeah, Jordan Haynes. He actually did a master. He gave a shot at doing the masters for our album. They sounded fucking awesome.
Yeah, they sound outrageously good. But yeah, Jordan Puckett was sent his way after talking to multiple different producers. They're like, you need to go check this guy out. And so we met up with him and started talking about some of the details, and dude was so helpful just throughout the whole process, you know, considering, hey, it was our first time recording with him.
Right.
So just breaking the ice there and getting familiar with his space. But he was really accommodating, and these two will tell you that I'm a major pain in the ass to be in a studio with. And he was very accommodating and understanding of like all the little details and nuances, and constantly come back in take after take and retuning drums so they're just perfect.
Yeah.
And he really went out of his way to knock it out of the park for us, and he certainly deserves all the praise from that aspect, because he helped us flush a lot of the songs out, and
he even played a little bit on a couple tracks.
Yeah. It's rare to find a producer that puts in that amount of attention to detail, you know, as if he's treating it like his own project. And I really think Jordan Puckett did that. We were definitely a pain in the ass. But
it took a year.
He did us well, and we really appreciate him.
So it took a year. It's a year in the making.
It took a year. Damn, it took what?
It was like 2 years of jamming.
Damn, what
before?
Is this, like Metallica, some kind of... We're putting out Saint Anger, guys. It's going to take us a year.
We were sitting on these songs for a minute.
Yeah,
even longer for you, because Greg, you wrote most of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it took so long because at the time I was working in the service industry, so I was working most nights, and everyone else was working day jobs, so it was like trying to find a mutual time where we could go actually like all be together and start recording. And so Tuesdays became our days, and it was pretty much like every single Tuesday we were going in there to track this or that. So It was a slow compounding on itself, but yeah, towards the end of it, I think really started to boost our confidence about how it was going to sound, because, you know, starting off, we'd go in and record drums and then just have the drums and maybe acoustics recorded. So it was really raw sounding. You couldn't really tell where it was headed over time. And especially with how long it was drawn out, you know, at certain points, it was like, man,
I love
when are
studio,
we
going to
finish
man.
This thing?
I love dude, being in a studio. That's like my happy place.
Dude, as a drummer, I will say recording drums, for one, it's a pain in the ass. And I'm like, man, sometimes I'm just like, dude, I wish I would have played guitar or something. Because recording drums is a pain in the ass. It's got hours of setup. And then, you know, you can't just punch in or anything like that. So you got to rip the song pretty good from beginning to end on your click track, on your metronome. And then it's just like hours of like people mixing, so you just hear like like on a loop for hours
until they sleep too.
Yeah, until they finally get it mixed. So once that's done and they start laying everything else, that's like my favorite part. I'm like, okay, this just sounds like a bunch of bullshit until someone like somebody please put some rhythm guitar on this thing.
Yeah, just like anybody,
throw some bass,
please
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Anything you want to hum over this? Because all I hear is you know, and all that sort of thing. But yeah, as a drummer, it's pretty lame experience. But I love everything else about the studio. I love sitting around, and I just my thing was I made smart ass comments, and then every once in a while I'd be like, yeah, you could do that better. You know, because sometimes it's like, yeah, I wasn't feeling it, dude. Try it again.
That's a good coach, though. You got to get out of their comfort zone, make them give their best performance.
Yeah, we've had those moments. We keep each other honest.
Oh yeah, certainly. I think that's become a given in our band is like,
we don't get
keeping
like
each other up to,
you know,
just
it's good.
Kind of keep each other honest.
I do. If anyone tells me to do it again, I get pissed immediately.
Yeah.
One and done every
it's
time.
Like, no, dude. I'm leaving.
I'm a one and done. I'm a one take Johnny over here.
It's just like a half step off the whole time.
Yeah. Stuff doesn't matter,
it's
bro.
It's like, no, it's good.
Correct.
Fix it
look
in post.
Into the art. We'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it.
Always.
Dude, in my last the last studio experience when we recorded our last EP, Illuminasty, we were out in L.A. and we were recording it, and it was like a two three week process. So we were out there for quite a while, and so like I was done with my drums after the first day. Like they were all recorded after the first day in the studio, right? And so I had about 14 to 20 extra days. To do like nothing. And there was a 7-Eleven that was about a block away. And I would walk to the 7-Eleven. And one day I found that Shaquille O'Neal actually had his own soda.
Yes.
And it was made by Arizona Tea. So it was in the big Arizona cans. And it was just called Soda Shack, or what I just called was Shack Soda.
I think I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. When I was in LA. Is it only in LA?
No, I used to find it around here, actually. But then they stopped selling it around here. Then I found it on the West Coast for a while. Oh, and then they stopped selling it there. I actually have one on top of my refrigerator. I'll show it to you.
Seen the bags of chips with like rappers' faces on them?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What are those called? I forgot what they're called.
Rap snacks?
I saw that, like, I forget what store I was in. I was like, there was like a column of these chips, and I was like, is this what I think it is?
Is Lil Yachty on one of them?
Dude, he should be.
I think like Wiz Khalifa, like maybe, you know, all like the main rappers.
Wiz Khalifa, I'm sure, is definitely
like Gucci Mane on. Or who knows.
But yeah,
I'm sure they're delicious.
Every can, well, not every can, but they had four different flavors, and each flavor had several pictures of Shaquille O'Neal. So there was at least two personalized can per flavor, and like literally every day I would just go get one, and then I just started saving the cans until I had every one of them. So I had to collect every one, two flavors, two pictures, and then I took a picture of me because it's just of his head and he looks real dumb on the, like he's always making goofy faces. So I had four cans on each side lined up, and then my face in the middle, also bald, making a dumb face.
Yes.
So that was like the biggest achievement that I made in the time that I wasn't recording my drums in the studio.
Might be worth something stuff. Someday.
Yeah, dude, I have one. I found one in Lake Shasta, California on our last tour. It was definitely, I bought two. One was definitely expired. Okay, so the other one was definitely expired by the time that I got to it. And so I just decided, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take it home with me. They don't make them anymore. Arizona's discontinued it.
Memorabilia.
I wrote a very long, sternly worded email to Arizona Tea just talking about how much I loved Shaq Soda and how dare they discontinue it.
It's like, you don't know who you're messing with here.
Yeah, bro. If you want, I'll be on it. Sean Soda. If you couldn't get Shaq's endorsement anymore.
I can make that same dumb face.
Exactly. We are both bald and we both love this soda. So we've got two big things coming up here.
I hope they're listening right now.
Yeah, Arizona Green Tea, if you're listening, or Arizona Tea Company or whatever you're called. Hey, Arizona, let's make this Sean Soda happen.
Well, we're giving them a free shout out. Yeah. Arizona Tea. Drink it.
Drink it, bro.
Sean versus Shaq.
Sean versus... Dude, I'm gonna get Shaquille O'Neal right here in the Smithsonian. I'm going to fly him in, and I'm going to talk about the meat and potatoes behind this soda and the endorsement
deal. How did you work this out?
Yeah.
Tell me all the details.
Bring your lawyer in here. I need some free consultation here, guys. But yeah, dude. Yeah, the greater good. If you haven't yet, listeners, you definitely have to go pick it up. Check it out. One of my favorite new finds. I love finding new music. And like I said, just running into you at the show, I was like, yeah, dude, I'll gladly check it out. Yeah, loved it. Knocked it out of the park. Slam dunk, guys.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and for listeners out there, if you want me to, if you want to be on the show or you got a product, whatever, shoot me the stuff. I'm down for anything, but...
Very receptive.
Yeah. I have a 100% response rate on Facebook. Some of those responses are, hey, I'm not currently available right now. I'll message you as soon as I get back. Or it's a thumbs up.
Right. Dude, still works, though.
Yeah, still works. That's the biggest thing that pisses me off is, like, sometimes it'll be like, all right, you know, you'll talk to somebody like, hey, that's great. And they're like, awesome. Like, they'll just send me something, like, after that. So if I just leave that hanging, my response rate goes down. So I'm like... Put a thumbs up.
Just for good measure.
Yeah.
Where can people find The Greater Good? They want to check out the album.
It's on iTunes, Apple Music, I think Spotify, Amazon, SoundCloud, Bandcamp. What am I missing?
We have physical copies.
Yes, physical copies. Yeah, pretty much everywhere you buy your favorite music.
Yeah, it's up on YouTube as well.
Cool.
YouTube, yeah.
Well, speaking of physical copies, where can people see you live and in person next? I know you got a date, at least one date coming up here in September.
Yeah, so we're playing the 22nd, actually up in Indianapolis. It's a place called Shoe Fly House. We're actually playing with some good buddies of ours, our friends in Joshua Powell and the Great Train Robbery. A big shout out to them. They booked us the show, so we're going to head up there. And then actually my friends from Akron, Ohio, close to where I grew up, are actually joining us on that bill as well.
Nice.
It's going to be a little reunion, so we're super stoked to play that. So that's the 22nd. It's kind of an all-day event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys, check it out. September 22nd in Indianapolis, right downtown. It's Arrowheads Fest. I know I got a lot of Indianapolis listeners, in India listeners, but India might be too big of a haul for you. But guys, Indianapolis is just about 2 hours up the street, so make it happen. You have no excuse. Be there. Pick up a physical copy of The Greater Good. Man, you can hear the birds outside.
Yeah, I was just about beautiful. To say. I thought that was a sound effect.
I hope that picks up nice on the microphone. But yeah, September 22nd, definitely check you guys out live and in person. And where can people check you out live and in person on the internet?
So we actually, we have that video that's available on YouTube for our single Henna, and then we actually were able to just play Live Lunch for WFPK.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. So that video is up on their Facebook page, as far as I know, and should be getting uploaded to YouTube as well.
You have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good sort of thing?
Yes, we have Facebook, Instagram, no Twitter.
We need to get our Twitter game.
Yeah, we're not Twitter. We're not really tweeters.
Twitters?
We aren't tweeters.
It's an acquired taste, man, but it's pretty good. Once you get, it's like beer. It's like cold Coors Light, man. Once you get
crispy,
into it a little bit, you'll
cool
love it.
And refreshing.
Got some of that
140 characters.
So, what's your Facebook handle and your Instagram handle for
it
the
is,
listeners?
Facebook.com/AnnapurnaBand, and it's Annapurna Band for Instagram as well.
Nice. You get to see all these dudes. Hot bods on the Instagram.
A bunch of dudes.
Sweaty dude.
Just making it happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I'm so glad that we were able to get together and make this happen. And yeah, definitely. It's the first time, you know, that really we got all three of us got to sit down and really chat. I know Lauren and Matt, you know, from being in, you know, they came bearing arms and lifelines. We played together from time to time. Mm-hmm. And John Wilmot's. Yeah. Used to be a staple here on the old podcast.
I just talked to him. Oh, yeah. He said he lives like 2 minutes away from me.
Yeah, he does. So he and I used to go to if you go back into the back catalog, listeners, he and I have done a lot of movie review podcasts here. So because we both got MoviePass at the same time, and that's when MoviePass was cool, and now it's lame, and it just drains my bank account.
John Lamont's hilarious.
He's doing one with Hugh now, a podcast.
He'll go to the movies by himself.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of a liberating.
It's kind of weird, too.
Yeah, big shout-out to Hugh Blansky, who also showed up for my Star Wars podcast.
Hey, he was in our video.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Hugh Blansky.
Hugh Blansky.
Ripping it up on the Yu-Gi-Oh.
shout out to Yu-Gi-Oh.
But yeah, guys, as we ride off into the sunset here, do you have anything that you want to say to your fans out there, your listeners, potential new fans, all that good sort of thing?
Well, we want to thank you first and foremost for having us out here. And yeah, check out that new album. It's called The Greater Good. Again, we're super stoked with how it turned out and all the love and responses that we've received thus far. So plan on keep chugging away and hope for bright things in the future.
Hell yeah, guys. Well, hey, I'm glad you guys showed up here today. Glad we got to hang out.
Indeed.
And listeners, if you like what you heard today, definitely check out Annapurna, Annapurna Band on Facebook and on Instagram. Pick up their album, The Greater Good. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. And you can get that physical copy. Check out the new music video for Henna. It's on YouTube, and it's also in the links, the show notes, whatever you want to call it, that I post each and every week. And if you like this show, if you haven't already, like, share, and subscribe. It is on Spotify. It is on iTunes as well. It is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, wherever you enjoy your podcast. It's on YouTube, too. I'm trying to get my YouTube channel up, so
smash that fucking like button.
Yeah, smash that fucking like button if you like it. Guys, only listen to it on YouTube from now on. At my convenience, get YouTube Premium, so that way you can turn your phone off and listen to it. Do you guys have YouTube Premium?
Negative.
No.
Dude, I bought it because Cobra Kai, like I was really into the Cobra Kai show, and I was like, oh, I kind of watched this. They had the first two episodes for free. I watched like the first two episodes, and I was like, well, I guess I'm subscribing to YouTube right now.
I'm in.
Yeah, and then, you know, it is very convenient to be able to turn your phone off and still listen.
That's the most annoying part about it. Yeah. I need to get that.
Yeah. I hate whenever I'm like watching something. Like sometimes YouTube videos will show up in my browser and I'll turn it off and then it goes off. I'm like, damn it. What do I pay you for?
Yeah, why?
But yeah, guys, definitely check out the podcast. Check out Annapurna. And yeah, thanks for sitting down with us again and listening to us here this Tuesday. You be awesome and stay wild out there, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you. This has been The Sean vs. Wild Podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.